Welcome to Lindell's Choice, a place where we explore the art of living our best life and the challenges we face along the way. A journey is seen through the experiences of a husband, dad, coach, engineer, entrepreneur, and athlete. I'm your host, Team Lindell. We're back for another week. And what an exciting week it has been. My soccer team played its second game of the season, came away victorious 3-1 with the help of some of the younger players in the GFC because we continue to be short on numbers this season. Of course, this time it was spring break that was the culprit. A number of our kids were out for spring break. In fact, it was so bad this week that one of our practice, we had 6 players out of 14. That's less than half the team showed up for practice. We ended up canceling the second practice because of the cold weather and the fact that there's only going to probably be 6 kids there. There's really not much you can do other than give them touches on the ball and play some games and just keep it entertaining. Which is a problem because we've done very little this season in regards to development as a team. We've done some individual work, but because practice has been so limited in numbers, we haven't been able to do any team-sided development. Working as a team, working kind of in a full-sided matter, we've had to learn concepts in small-sided games, which is okay. But I'd really like to get out on the full field and do some work, but we just haven't had numbers for that, which has been a problem. The other problem I've had is my kids love to goof off during practice. I mean, just as an example, recently we opened up with a small-sided game, introduced some concepts. We did the skill part of our work, of our training, which is about a 20-minute where we work on passing or dribbling or some technical skill. A lot of times we'll work on passing, and it's really bad. I'm just like, I've got 10-year-old kids who are in, I guess, third and fourth grade. They can't stay focused. They can't execute what's necessary. I mean, we're just doing passing at 15, 20 yards apart. And all I'm asking them to do is stay light on their feet, make an accurate pass, trap it, get the ball off. Stuff we've been doing for a few years now. And inevitably, 12, 13, 14 balls go flying off into space. And every time we do, we run sprints for it. That's my ability to try to get them to focus. But it doesn't work. We even tried like just a basic dribbling drill where I put up cones. Let's weave in and out of cones just to get different touches on foot. On your feet from different angles and just work on controlling the ball. And like they're not listening, they don't do the activity correctly. They'll sometimes be chattering and stuff when we're trying to explain. And it's really challenging. I went through an example of going through the cone quickly, and there were 2 or 3 kids who had no idea what I did. They were doing something else. And I'm not really sure what to do about that. It's challenging to get kids to take something at least somewhat seriously. What's funny is I just like, okay, let's use Gemini, which is Google's AI method, to figure out ways I can make practice better. And it was actually kind of funny because I'm like, okay, I ask Gemini, you know, how can I get kids to be more serious during practice? And they come back with, well, it needs to be fun. Oh, man. Our soccer practices are much more fun than other ones I've seen around. When you get your D license in soccer coaching, they talk about fun being one of the major elements of what you're trying to do. And the way you do that is to create game-like scenarios and teach within a game-like moment. For example, one thing I've done, we have a smaller area. It's 3v3. You're trying to go from one end to the pitch or the area to the other end. The other team's trying to go from one end to the other area. Very similar to actually playing a game of soccer. And then within this little game, you can begin to teach different concepts. But in a simple 3v3, I can teach things like, can we be compact? I.e., can we get together? Can we move together as a team and stay compact as we defend? Can we cover for one another? Or I could change the focus to offense of like, hey, can we spread out? Can we find an opening? Can we make a through pass? There's a lot of things that can be done in just these simple like game type environments to teach the kids the skills they need. So we have a lot of fun because probably 2/3 of our practices are playing in a game-like environment. But I need to develop the skills because things like passing and getting it off our feet quickly and dribbling are skills that still need to be developed in this team. They're not experts at those. But I can't get them to focus on them. I can't get them to work on it. And it just goes from practice to practice. I mean, we might work on a concept like compact. And then at the end, we'll scrimmage. And like 5 or 10 minutes into the scrimmage, I've seen no attempt at being compact. So trying to get them to take the skill we just learned and apply it into game-like settings has become a real challenge. What I decided to do is like, okay, again, Gemini AI. I keep asking it like, hey, you know, how do I get kids to be more serious? They keep coming back, well, it needs to be fun, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I'm having fun. My problem is not making it fun. My problem is getting them to come back in and focus. I eventually got results that had some relevance, but not a lot. It was funny because it was like, okay, first thing you should do is identify the fun culprits. Observe the activities. Watch closely to see what specific aspects of practice are becoming overly fun and distracting. You know, this is not a bad idea. Like, okay, where are things breaking down? And it becomes pretty obvious in my practice. They start talking to each other. They start goofing around. They try to do things that they think is funny. Maybe they start getting on each other's nerves. There's a lot of things that cause practices to break down. So it says, talk to the players. Have a casual conversation with a few players to understand what they find most enjoyable during practice. Okay. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. Getting them to focus. I guess you're trying to find out what's fun and try to redirect towards those fun things rather than what distracts them. The next thing was refocus the fun. Adjust activities. Modify or tweak the activities to incorporate skills you want them to learn. Well, yeah, that's what we're doing. Introduce challenges. Layer challenges into existing fun drills. For example, add a time limit, a point-based system. Again, these are things that we do to try to get them to focus in general. It doesn't always work. And then the next thing was increase focus gradually. Start light. Have focus bursts where you break into smaller segments and followed by breaks. Positive reinforcement for focus. Actively praise and acknowledge moments of good focus during drills. This reinforces desired behavior. Though that is true. And I try to do that. Communication and expectation. Clear goals. Before each practice, clearly explain the goals and skills you want them to learn. Have a mid-practice check-in. Take a short pause mid-practice to remind them of focus and goals. And positive consequences. Explain the positive outcomes of focusing on practice drills. I mean, this probably here is the area where I might be able to take the most from it. I probably need to do a better job of setting expectations in practice. Like, hey, we're going to focus. We're going to do this. And then mid whatever, hey, are we meeting our expectations? And try to encourage them to meet these expectations at each practice. And when they do it, praise them. When they get too far away from them, we're probably just going to have to get back to running. There's a hill. They hated running it. We may have to bring that back in when they can't. But we're going to have to do more to set the expectations with these kids because they're not bad kids. They just have trouble focusing. And part of my problem is some of my best kids are the ones who are most likely to goof off. The ones that are the most talented are tend to be the ones that get off the rails sometimes. So my second kind of focus on this was like, okay, how can I begin to build leadership on the team? And so being having fun with this already, I asked Google Gemini, and they came back with some pretty good points and some things I'm going to probably use to try to find a leader or two on my team to bring everything back. So the first thing it says is build confidence in leadership skills. Highlight existing leadership. Point out instances when they already demonstrate leadership qualities, like encouraging teammates or explaining a drill. That's a good thing. But the problem is there's not a lot of leadership, so there's not much to point out. But yeah, okay. Assign small leadership tasks like leading warm-up stretches or demonstrating a drill. This is probably a good idea. What I probably need to do is like, okay, the kids who are talented, who have the ability to be kind of leaders with their position, I probably need to start coming up with ways for them to demonstrate leadership. Give them leadership activities like, hey, can we get everybody ready for this next activity? Can we bring it in and quiet it down? And have one or two kids kind of be in charge of that. It allows them to, I guess, practice leadership in a low-pressure environment. The next thing was empowerment and opportunity. Positive reinforcement, publicly acknowledge and praise them for taking initiative or offering helpful suggestions, which is always good. Delegate small tasks to them. This builds trust and provides opportunities to lead. Okay, I'm with that. Create a supportive environment. Encourage open communication. Celebrate mistakes. I mean, we've already done that. I mean, we don't look at mistakes as being a problem. I don't have a problem with you making mistakes as long as the effort's there. And that's the problem, is I'm not getting the effort from them. Lastly, focus on collaboration. Highlight the importance of teamwork and how leadership helps the entire team succeed. Okay. The big takeaway for me is I need to find a couple leaders. I'm going to have to give them some activities to demonstrate leadership and to allow them to find their voice as leaders. And I have a couple potential candidates. I have some of the better players who are kind of outspoken. I need to kind of start pushing them down the road, especially since they're the ones who I think want to get better, but the peer pressure of the environment has been suboptimal for that process. the joys of being a coach. It's always fun. Oh, well, that wasn't my main topic for this week. I wanted to talk about my challenge with staying in the moment during the day and staying on target throughout the day. As I've said in previous episodes, my goals are fairly simple. I want to do one task at a time. Once a task is completed, I want to bring my focus back to the moment at hand and then make rational decisions about what to do next and not let things like habits take over and not let emotions that lead to procrastination to get in hand and take over. But the reality of it is, it hasn't really gone well for me. First, I went with a journaling concept of, hey, maybe if I just write things down, that'll keep me focused and on task. But over time, I became kind of desensitized to that process. And the challenges of working with like a physical material, like a journal, really made it difficult in areas where, you know, I'm out and about and I don't have it with me. The second concept I used was timers. Okay, we have a task, let's set a timer. That way, when the timer goes off, I can bring my focus back to the moment in hand, which kind of works, especially for activities at night, like I'm watching television or playing a game. Hey, this is just a reminder that, hey, you're kind of doing this activity. Do you want to continue doing it, or do you need to be focusing on something else? It runs into problem, though. If I have a task that I think takes 45 minutes but ends up taking an hour and a half, that timer may go off in 45 minutes. I'm absorbed in my work. I don't reset a timer, or I don't take a break, or whatever it might be, and I just roll through that task, and now I'm into the next task without really thinking about it. I even had a focus timer on the PC. It was kind of like Pomodoro, where you have 20 minutes focus, 5 minute break, 25. And the problem is you're getting into a task that goes off. I don't want to stop for 5 minutes. I need to keep focused on this. I'm absorbed in it. I'm in the flow. There's no reason to break. And that became a problem as well. What I kind of found is that both of these methods have worked in a very limited fashion. Each time I used one of them, I was able to maintain some focus for a period of time. But it was very inconsistent. And that's really frustrating. Apparently I can do it, I just can't do it consistently. I mean, the fact that I can do it at all is proof that it can be done. I guess what I need to do is come up with a better method for managing these transitions between tasks. What I need to do is I need to find a better way of doing this, a way that I can execute on more consistently. Funny thing happened the other night after my son's soccer practice. I was helping his coach put away his balls and cones, and I was lightly discussing how, as a coach, everyone at the end of practice, everyone just leaves, and the coach is kind of left to clean up for himself. And Alex's coach was like, yeah, you know, that happens. I don't really mind it that much. I mean, I don't have expectations for that. I'm not setting expectations for them to clean up. They've done their practice. They can go about doing their own thing. And he was like, you know, I like to use the time to reflect on how practice went. I mean, I found that interesting. Myself, I usually reflect much later on. Usually when I'm done, I just kind of want to step away, let the mind go, kind of just relax for a few minutes and let things kind of simmer. Because what I found is that if you give your mind a chance to subconsciously digest something, it does a wonderful job of coming up with creative solutions. So I generally like to let things simmer maybe for a couple of days before coming back to it. And this ends up being a really good process for dealing with problems, dealing with creativity. But as I kind of heard him, I was like, huh, you know, maybe I should use that time better. Maybe I should have like a hot take on practice, how it went, how it didn't, that I can then come back and reflect on later after my subconscious has an opportunity to process that new information. The funny thing is something much more interesting happened a day or two later when I began focusing on this problem I have right now and finding a better way to focus throughout the day. And the discussion with the coach kind of triggered a new thought in me. You know, what if I'm looking at the problem from the wrong end? All my solutions up to this point have been taking the start of a task, finding focus, make good decisions, and then go and execute. You know, I tried to introduce a timer so that I could refocus every so often. But what if I, instead of focusing on the beginning of a task, what if I moved my energy towards focusing on the end or completion of tasks? Well, instead of looking at the front end, what if I look at the back end? I mean, when you look at this from a very logical standpoint, this would allow me to ensure that I wrap up tasks completely, clean up anything that needs to be done after the task was done. But more importantly, if I focus on the completion of tasks and reflecting on those tasks, it would deliver me to the doorstep of the next task. If I'm using my rational mind to reflect on what I just did and kind of clean up, guess what? I'm in the rational decision-making state when it's time to do the next task. This would place me in that moment of time, which I've been struggling to find myself in with these past efforts. I find that interesting and enticing. And I began to wonder about, you know, what would that look like? What would reflection after tasks look like? For myself, I know it needs to be a lightweight process. If it takes too many tools, if it takes too many steps, I'm not going to do it. At least I won't do it consistently. That's what I've found with these other avenues I've gone down. I think it needs to be productive, and I know I'm going to need cues to utilize that will allow me to gain focus at the end of tasks. Once again, I went back to Gemini. It's a great place to bounce things off of because it has a large repository. And I was like, okay, what are some reflection questions I could potentially use when doing tasks? It came back with a list of kind of reflection questions for different elements of an event. I had some questions to think about before the event. What were my goals coming into the event? How well did I prepare for that event? Was I anxious or excited beforehand? Questions about the event itself. What were the key moments or highlights of the event? Did anything unexpected happen? How did I handle it? What did I learn from observing others involved in the event? Questions to ask for about after the event. What are my overall feelings about the event? Did I achieve my goals? What could I have done differently to improve the experience? Learning and growth. What did I learn about myself during this event? What new skills or knowledge did I gain? How can I apply what I learned to future situations? What aspects of the event did I enjoy the most? Who made the experience positive? That's an interesting question. I've never really thought about who made this an enjoyable experience? How can I recreate these positive feelings in the future? What aspects of the event did I find challenging? What could have been improved about the event? How can I avoid similar negative experiences in the future? Personally, I think this is a fantastic list of reflection. The problem is it's more way too deep for just day-to-day tasks one does in living. I think this is a really useful list if you're going to go to a larger event, because it allows you to focus on the whole event in entirety and all the different aspects of it. This is actually a nice little list. But I'm going to need something simpler. And I began to think about, okay, what methods have I used to reflect upon day-to-day activities? I came across a book on Stoicism that offered a very simple way to reflect upon your day. And it asked three questions. You know, what was good about the day? I.e., what did you do well? What could have been better about the day? I.e., what did you have challenges that could have been done differently? And then, what would the best day have looked like? I.e., what were the things you could have done to turn that day into a perfect day? Kind of a bigger picture look at something. You know, and for the standpoint of lightweight, this becomes simple. What was good? What could have been better? What would the best have looked like? That is pretty lightweight, and it's pretty much top of mind for me, so it's not something I'm going to have to look up or try to memorize. And it's fairly straightforward and simple, which, I mean, reflection is only part of the reason I'm doing this. I think reflection is good because that's how you learn to get better. But it's only one part of the reason for doing this. I don't need a huge in-depth reflection piece. I just need something simple. And if that leads to something that is significant, well, then I can just go ahead and write that down and say Google Keep for later reference. But for the most part, most of these are going to be fairly simple and fairly straightforward, which means it's something I'm likely to do. And then I began to think about, okay, so I have a simple reflection piece. You know, what are some visual cues that I can help to instigate this reflection process? Because one of the challenges is going to be, I get down with something, I move on to the next thing without taking a moment to reflect. How do I inject reflection into my day more? And I began to think about utilizing visualization as that process. And one of the things you learn in sport is using visualization to help you overcome obstacles, to help you get additional reps in a particular activity. So I began to think about, how can I use visualization to give me additional reps of stepping in and allowing reflection to take place? If I can do this, I can do this at night. I can potentially do this before the task. And that's kind of what I was thinking about. I was like, okay, I've reflected on this previous task. Okay, maybe if I can add visualization piece in, I can maybe add some meditation before the next task, clear the mind, maybe visualize the task, visualize completing it and going through that reflection process, and trying to have a more holistic way to attack the day of, hey, reflection time, let's focus, let's clear the mind, let's refocus, let's go into the next thing, and kind of keep this pattern going as a way to maintain focus throughout the day. I'm going to give it a go over the next couple of weeks. I've been using it for about a day or two now. The preliminary results are positive, but I think it's going to take me a lot of work to turn this into a habit. So we're going to give it a go, and I'll report back my findings in the next couple of weeks as we get to it. Well, if you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.